And we'll be dealing with the subject of abounding in hope as we've read about it in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to just read it as a refresher again today. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, where it says there, "Now the God of hope," what is God? God's the God of hope, "fill you with all joy and peace." So it's his will and the prayer of Paul on this occasion for the Romans was that God would fill them with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. And so the Lord's will is for the believer to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And of course, we can't do it in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Ghost, he can enable us, as we're yielded to him, to be those who are abounding in hope, abounding in that peace and joy, that which produces that peace and joy that we need as God's people, a forward look, a look into the future, and a very positive look, and a thankful look at what we know that is coming in the future. There's one of the bluegrass songs that somebody sings, and I don't even remember who sings it, but he says, "I read the book." You know, he knows what's happening because he read the book. He knows what's coming in his life because he read the book. And so as we look to God's word, we know what the Lord has in store for us. Today, I want us to think upon, as we said a moment ago when we sang the one of the Christmas songs that is oftentimes sung about angels. The angels in realms on high, and angels in the realms of glory, and angels we have heard on high, and different songs about the angels that we sing. And I want to think today about the subject of angelic hope. Angelic hope. And what I mean by that is angelic hope, or hope that we have from angels, is assurance and peace that we possess given God's design to help us through his angels. And so I want to think about his angels. We don't focus a whole lot of time, a whole lot of attention a lot of times on the subject of angels, but at the same time, it is a reality in God's word that we do need to pay our attention to. And so I want to think a little bit about that today. In Psalm 91 and verse number 11, we'll find our text here. Psalm 91 and verse 11. And when we think about the angels today, we'll first of all seek to understand a little bit about angels from a few passages of Scripture. And then I want us to concentrate upon this text that's here before us, and a little about the context of it, and then also what's it saying and what it should mean to us. In Psalm 91 and verse number 11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Well, that says something pretty endearing about the angels. It says, hey, they are charged, and we'll look at it, but they're charged with a commission, with a mission to keep us in all our ways. And so it's a keeping watch over, and a keeping guard, if you will, that's taking place from the angels. So we'll think about that a little bit today. And the first thing we'll be doing, though, as I said, we'll want to just understand a few things about angels first, and we'll look at that, and then we'll look at the text. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once again before we go any further. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for just the opportunity to think upon today this subject from the Scriptures that is a subject about some personalities in our life that are somewhat in the mysterious form, somewhat, Lord, that we don't think about very often, and yet something that persons that we are so, Lord, that are so acquainted with us, and we don't know it, and we don't realize it, and yet we look into your word and we see it. And we just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be more in tune by your Spirit with the reality that the angels are with us and working on our behalf many times so often. And we just pray for your blessings now that you would encourage us and give us hope as we think upon this host of the heavenly bodies that God has created for us today. Your will be done in each of our lives, and just lead and direct that the angels, Lord, might help us even today as they minister unto us in light. We pray that you'd strengthen and give us grace to better understand what you have for us here. In Jesus' name, amen. First, consider a few things about the angels. We're here in Psalm, so look over to Psalm 148 for a second, and near the very end of the Psalms. And Psalm 148, and read there verses 2 through 5. Psalm 148, verses 2 through 5. And I just point out the fact that as we think at the from the very beginning about the angels, that there are some people have the theory, and not a biblical theory, but have a theory that somehow the angels are like God and they're eternal. They've always been. Well, they're not. They're part of the creation that God has created. So verse number 2, it says here, "Praise him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the earth. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." He's saying to the angels, let the angels praise him, and praise him in the sense that for they were created. We find in the Old Testament a number of occasions in which the angels are referred to, and we read about them in certain passages as the sons of God, and we find them as angels. We find out that even if look in the New Testament, referring back to them, we find that they're angels being referred to. And those sons of God, the title sons of God, sometime in the Old Testament that's given, is a reference to angels. And it is a reference that tells us about their sons of God, not in the redemptive sense. They don't even, we'll get back to this, but they don't have a concept of redemption, and nor have they been redeemed, but rather they are the good angels, are angels that have been created in goodness and holiness, and they maintain that holiness by the grace and goodness of God. But they find, though, that there's a they were created beings. Angels are created beings, and so as God's people, we see that. They're to worship, and they're sons of God in the sense of sons as created by him. In other words, all people are also, there's a sense in which everyone is a child of God in the sense of creation, that we've all come from him, come from God. We're all sons of God in that sense. But from the redemptive sense, as being children of God spiritually and having that redemptive relationship with God through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, forgiving us of all of our sins, there is a unique sense in which we become the children of God. And so we're not the children of God. Well, the sons, they are referred to, even as in the Old Testament, as the sons of God. They're created by him. In Colossians chapter 1 in the New Testament, in Colossians the first chapter, we read again about them being created by the Lord. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and 17, Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible." Angels happen to be invisible. And he says here, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. So the angels are part of God's creation. Exactly when that they were created is somewhat a mystery, because the scripture doesn't specifically say, like, on what day that the Lord created them. But I do believe that based on scriptures that account that in 6 days the Lord created all things in heaven and earth, that would mean that he created the angels on one of the 6 days. And so at some point he created the angels. They were they're created. Also, some of them, and I just point this out, that some of them fell with Satan. There was a point in time, at some point, prior to the fall of man, that there was the fall of angels, that there was an angelic fall in which that a group of angels followed Satan, and those are referred to as demons, those are referred to as the angels of the devil, and so there's Satan himself was an angel, and he was a fallen angel. He rebelled against God and was allowed to rebel against God and allowed to fall, and we find that in fact, that there's a great number of angels that fell with him. And we're told that as God's people that we need to arm ourselves against the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about we need to stand against the devil. And he tells us that we need to stand up, that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but we got this battle that is against principalities and powers in high places. We have this battle against spiritual wickedness in high places, as the scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And James chapter 4 and verse number 3 says we need to resist the devil and flee from it. So as God's people, we need to be aware of the fact that there are fallen angels as well as good angels. But we find, though, that as far as the good angels, the scripture tells us in Hebrews that they are higher in ability and authority. They're stronger. They're higher in ability and authority than man is. And Hebrews chapter 2, and if you want to hold your place there in Hebrews for a few minutes, because there's a few passages that are spoken here in the book of Hebrews about the angels. But Hebrews chapter 2, and starting verse number 7 there, and whenever the Lord is talking about man, he says, "Thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels." So in other words, as far as authority and power, the man is a little lower, created a little lower than the angels. "Thou crownest him, man, with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." All the creation of the world is in subjection under man's feet. "For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." But, verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus," and again, here's the level of the angels. Clearly, Jesus was above the angels as the everlasting, eternal Son of God, God the Son. He says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels." That didn't mean he was created, he wasn't created, period. But when he came into this world, he was put into a position that was lower than the angels. In other words, he was put in the position of as a man, as a human being. And so it says he is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, so that he could suffer death like we suffer. Angels don't suffer death. And that's something that the scripture tells us specifically. But he says, hey, for Jesus to suffer death, he had to come down and be made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So we find here he's higher in authority. The angels are higher and in authority and in ability than men are. And that's said a number of ways in the book of Hebrews. But also, the angels are, they're spirits, and we'll look at this in Hebrews in a moment, but angels are spirits, just as we said. They're invisible. They're spirits. They're they live in a different realm than we do. And not to say that they do not have contact with us. They do. But at the same time, their contact with us is not something that we can experience on a personal basis, but rather we experience in our lives as the Lord's guiding and directing us through the angels. He's using them in a very special sense, but they are spirits, and they're spirits who have they do not procreate, they do not have children, they do not, there's no such thing as angels marrying and giving in marriage. The scripture specifically says that. Jesus tells us that. There's no death among the angels either. in the book of Matthew, and I'll just reference a couple of passages. Matthew 22, 30 and Luke 20, verses 35 and 36. Matthew 22, 30 and Luke 20, 35 and 36. And you can read those passages, and they say, hey, there's no procreation, there is no angelic marriages or giving in marriage or anything like that, and there's no death. They do not die. And so for the suffering of death, Jesus had to be made a little lower than the angels, and that's in that sense is what he is saying there. Also, angels are always mentioned, and I point this out because it's just the truth of the scripture, that angels are always mentioned with the masculine pronoun. They're always mentioned in the masculine gender. They're always given the only angels, the angels of the angels that we have names given to us, that they're masculine names. And so we find that there's other angels that are referred to, some of the host of angels. There's order and there's hierarchy among the angels. One of them's called an archangel. Who's that? Michael, the archangel. Gabriel seems to have a very special sense. Remember, Gabriel's the one that announced the coming of John the Baptist to his parents. And also, Gabriel is the one that announced the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ unto Mary. And so these are angels that have a responsibility, but they do not procreate, and therefore perhaps for that reason there is not two different genders that are mentioned of angels. But at any rate, they are spirit beings, and so we find them as having a very special condition and sort in life. They don't have bodies. They are spirits. And then Bancroft in his theology, and I thought this is really good concerning the good angels. He said, here's what they do. Good angels, they worship. And we find that all through the scriptures, how that they are worshipers. They rejoice. Angels rejoice. There's joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repents. There's also joy among the angels when they, as they're rejoicing forever and ever at the end, whenever we read about it in the book of Revelation, there's joy in heaven, there's rejoicing among the angels. They rejoice in their worship unto the Lord. So there's worship, there's rejoice, they rejoice. They execute God's will. They are given responsibilities to execute God's will, to do certain things. And so God uses the angels, gives them orders, give them commands, and they execute those commands. And the good angels, how much of the commandments of God do they execute? Everything. Everything God tells them to do, they do it precisely as he's told them. They are creatures that God has created. They guide, fourthly, they guide in affairs of nations. In the book of Daniel, over and over again, we find that angels having responsibility, specific angels having responsibility for different nations. And so in a very unique sense, we find that angels are involved in the affairs of the overthrow of nations and the affairs of a nation coming to be, a nation being destroyed, a nation. The Lord uses the angels in that regard in guiding in the affairs of nations, and then also guiding and guarding believers. Fifthly, guiding and guarding believers, and we see that in the scripture clearly, and we're reading about that in our text today. But they minister to God's people. Sixthly, they minister to God's people. Seventh thing he says is they defend and deliver God's servants. So they're ministering to his people. They minister needs. They're giving us direction, giving us light, understanding, good judgment. They're defending and delivering us at times. Remember the occasions where that some of God's servants were delivered and, you know, by the angels and rescued. Lot was. But also one thing they do, and we were listening to a bluegrass song this morning, and it was a gospel song, I should say, a gospel song this morning, and it was about the the transport of us, you know, to glory. The angels are the ones that take our soul, that are used to, God's ordered that the angels take our soul after we die and into the presence of the Lord. We're delivered by the angels into God's presence. And so we find that that's part of transporting the believing dead. And then finally, at the end, when Christ returns, the angels are going to accompany Jesus Christ in his return when he comes back to this earth. And so there's a, good summary of all the things that the angels, some of the things that the angels do. Also, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22, if we're still here in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22, we read there, it says, "But ye are come as God's people," in other words, New Testament saints, because he was talking about how that things were for the Old Testament saints in chapter 12 previous to this. And he said, "Hey, you're come to Mount Sinai." Well, we're come to a different mount. We're come to Mount Zion. It says, ye are come unto Mount Zion. In other words, this is our position as God's people, as the Lord's people, in terms of our relationship with God, in terms of the providence of God working in our lives. And so in verse 22, he says, "But you're come unto Mount Zion." You're the one that's the promised seed that the Lord has given promise, and Christ was sent to save you from your sins. It says, "And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." That's what we have as New Testament saints. We have an innumerable company of angels that we're in the company with, to the General Assembly, et cetera, and Church of the Firstborn. And so we are a very privileged people in New Testament times, where we have this innumerable company of angels that are helping, that are guiding, and how do they do that? What are they? Well, they are primarily, as we look to the scripture, they are ministering spirits. That's their main position, their main job is ministering. It's ministering to us, helping us. That's what when you say ministering, we're just talking about helping us out. Hebrews chapter 1 says that. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and apologize for so many verses of scripture today, but you just about have to when you're dealing with a subject like this. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, he says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" And then he says, "Are they not all," Christ is far superior than any of the angels, is what he was saying in that text. And he says, so he's never said to any of the angels, "Sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool." No, that's what he said to Christ. And he says, but are they not all, here's what they are, they're ministering spirits. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" So those of us who are the heirs of salvation, those of us who've been saved by the goodness of God, we have this innumerable company of angels who are sent forth at different times, different numbers, sent forth to minister unto us and our needs. You say, well, exactly how many do we each have? The scripture doesn't say that each of us have a certain number or anything like that. It doesn't tell us. But it does say that we have angels that keep guard over us. And so the angels in general, they do, and they go from place to place, from person to person. It's hard to really define the spirit realm and say that the spirit realm is not confined by geography, space, but it does seem to be confined by time and relation. And so the spirits are working, and they're working among us, and they can depart from us. How fast? Well, God can. Remember when Jesus spoke, when when the folks, the Jews, talked to Jesus and they said, hey, you could command the angels and you'd have 12 legions of angels immediately assisting you. You know, well, that was true. And it's a truth based upon Old Testament scriptures. And so fact of the matter is they can, you know, they instantly come and can give us aid, can give us help, and the Lord can use them and can cause that they be the instrument in the hands of the Lord to minister unto us. But they are ministering spirits, spirits. You talk, you know, I know that there's the scripture, there's a passage of scripture that talks about angels unawares and such as that. And those angels unawares, in a sense, are messengers that help us at different times in our life. And it's as though that it was an angel. The word angel is used for ministers. It's used for pastors, even in the scripture. And it's used for Jesus Christ himself, who's not just a spirit. So they're ministers, those who minister unto us. But literally and technically, the angels that we're talking about here, they are ministering spirits. They're just spirits. And so they don't have bodies. They don't today take the form of bodies or anything like that. They are simply spirits. And then we find that they're... But the one thing about them, though, the one thing, if you'd say, that they lack, and that is, again, the whole salvation experience. They have never experienced salvation from sin because they've never sinned. They're holy, and they walk in holiness. They've never experienced the reality of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And in fact, the scripture even gives us a hint that they really are interested in understanding the redemption story, but they don't fully understand it as we do. And so we find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12 that that's the case. In 1 Peter, if you want to turn forward from Hebrews just for a minute, but 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12, I'll read it to you. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. He's just talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation through the gospel and grace. And he says the angels desire to look into that. And there's another passage as well that has them as observers in the church. And so as God's people, we see that there's this, with all the power and the authority and the wisdom and knowledge that they do have, they're limited. They're not unlimited power. They're not unlimited in their wisdom. God alone is. And so we find this is something about the angels. So just understanding a little bit about the angels themselves. And now let's just consider the text. Let's think about this is the order of creatures that God has designed and that God has created to help us along. And they are in this world in which that we don't have proof of them other than the proof of the Word of God telling us and giving us assurance. So how do I walk as a child of God? Well, I walk by faith. I believe the promises that God has given me in His Word, and I rest my life upon those things. I have peace because of those things. Not because of anything anybody says, not even because of what this preacher says, but because of what God has said in His Word. I have strength, I have the ability as a child of God to be encouraged from the Word of God, as this preacher's trying to do. Encourage us to be encouraged from the Scriptures to say, hey, this is a promise that God's given me in His Word, and I can rest upon it. There is such a thing as angels, even though I've never seen one, never talked to one, but there is such a thing as angels that have charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And look at it. It says chapter 91 again. And I want to look at the context for just for a minute. The context here is a context of God's sovereign care over His own. It's a context of God's sovereign care over His own. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place, Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's talking about the child of God. Someone who is who has their abiding place in the secret place of the Most High is a person who has a standing with God in Jesus Christ. And so he says, hey, that person shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is going to be watching over them all the time. Under the shadow means that we're always under his watch care. We're always under God's benevolent watch care. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom will I trust? Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll deliver us. He'll give us provision in our lives as his people and whatever might come upon us. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Well, he doesn't have feathers. He's not a bird, but he has feathers in the sense of his provision in our lives. But that's metaphoric. It's saying, hey, he's like a bird that takes the little chicks and covers them with her wings and cares for them. And he says, under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Things happen in the night. My dear wife and I were watching we watched a couple of horror films, movies yesterday, and she doesn't like that. She doesn't particularly like that kind of stuff. I think she slept okay last night, though. She's okay. Because we don't have to be afraid for the terror by night, even though it can be terror, you know, a terror movie, a horror. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day. What happens during the daytime? All kinds of arrows come at us, right? Any of us ever experienced arrows during the daytime? Of course we have. They happen all the time. But we don't have to be afraid because of the arrows. He says here, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by the night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, whatever it is. All kinds of things that happen to us as God's people. You don't have to be afraid of those things. Why? Because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. Because we got him always over us. It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. In other words, the Lord's got a special protection and provision over his people. He's watching over us in a very peculiar sense. We're a peculiar treasure of his as his people, those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. He said, we're the only ones that really understand what's going on. The Lord's governing us. He's given us understanding, and through his word, he's given us understanding of the state of the wicked, of the condition of the wicked and what's happening to them. Because thou hast made the Lord, he says, because we have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because we've made him our habitation. When we were saved, that's what happened, is we made him our habitation. We made the Lord our dwelling place. We decided, here's the home that I'm going to have. I'm going to have the Lord as my home. Here's my provision. I'm going to have the Lord as my provision. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. He says, for he shall give his... Now here's verse 11. So this is the context, is what I'm saying, of this verse, is a context of the Lord's absolute providence and care and benevolence over his people, to take care of his people. And he says, here's one of the ways he does it. He says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He says, one of the ways that the Lord shadows us, one of the ways that the Lord has got us under his wings and caring for us and providing for us is the fact that he has given his angels. The angels, looking at the text, looking at verse 11, the angels have a delegated charge. They have a delegated charge. As we said, they always do what God wants them to do. They always do. They follow God's orders exactly. But they don't do anything if God doesn't order them to do something. I mean, if he doesn't give them the order to do it, then they're not. But they are working in the sense of ministering God's will to his people. And God is, he's got this infinite number. You talk about a person that's a multitasker. God's a multitasker. He's got an infinite number of angels, or I don't know, when I say infinite, an innumerable company of angels, a great number of angels. I don't think it's an infinite number because the creation isn't. And when you look in the book of Revelation, you find that he says numbers, 1,000 times 1,000 and tens of thousands and such as that. So he gives us, there's a huge company though of angels, and that huge company of angels, he's in absolute charge over all of them. And he's directing them for all these different things that I said Bancroft told us about from other passages of Scripture, of all the things that they're doing, but especially taking charge over us, taking care of us. He's given them charge over us. He's delegated to them a special charge. And that charge is a delegated mission. With that charge is this mission. And this mission is very specific, he says. They shall bear thee up. To keep thee in all thy ways. He goes on to say in verse 12, they'll bear thee up in their hands. He's governing through the angels to really take care of us and defend us and take care of us in all our ways. To keep thee in all thy ways. In all the different things that you go doing, the angels are, God's given the angels the charge to keep you in those times. He's working in our lives. He's accomplishing things in our lives on levels that we can't even fathom. Really, you can't fathom. You can't really say that, you know, you experience the specifics of some angel because they don't dwell in that level of communication with us. But at the same time, we experience what God wants us to experience through them. God uses them. And the angels have a mission, a delegated charge, a delegated mission. And what's the result of all that? Well, I think that the reason why that the psalmist wrote here, they shall bear thee up in their hands. The reason why he said, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, is to give us some peace, to give us some assurance, to give us some hope as his people, that we would, once again, through all the different things, all the different promises that God's given us in his word, here's one of those many promises that says, hey, you've got reason to be a hopeful people. You got reason to be a people who are not cast down, who are not defeated, who are not a people who are just in despair, but rather are people who know God does care for us. Even on those times when we look up and we say, God, where are you? What happened? I don't see you in my life. It seems like you're just leaving me behind. And yet the Lord says, no, I've never left you behind. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He's promised us that. We're under his care. We're always going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're under his care to the extent, even as we read about it today, that he's given us the angels. Now, that's to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's to us who've come to trust in Christ as our Savior, because that whole passage is referring to those who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty and who have that dwelling place with the Lord in his secret place. And so, as God's people, may we know that through Christ that we have this blessed relationship with the angels who are caring for us day by day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us, the opportunity you give us to look into your word and to think upon the things that sometimes that we just maybe we take for granted, but other times, Lord, we don't really consider as much as we should. And we just pray that you'd bless that. That as we think upon this, the very reality of the angels in our presence and helping us along, Lord, at times, we just pray that you'd gird us up with more hope in you. that you'd gird us up with trusting in you more and depending on you and leaning on you, knowing that not only are you personally working in our lives day by day by the very presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, but also there are ministering spirits that are ministering to us all the time, watching over us in everything we do. And we just praise you for that and thank you for your love and your care that you have invested in us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You're dismissed.